Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilt's Wake Up Call. We come to you every Friday morning at 7:30 to 8 o'clock and bring you some of the important news of the day. And we have with us Dick Paddock, our engineer, and Lucy Lewis, who is learning to be an intrepid engineer, and I'm Lori Hoy, your host. Our guests today are two students who are co-chairs of the Sierra Student Coalition. And they are working on something that is really so appropriate for Earth Day, Earth Week, and that is the Beyond Coal campaign. And I have to admit to you, I think it's only in the last 5 years, with so much information coming out from different environmental groups, I had no idea that most of our electricity was generated by coal. And it was very shocking to me, because I come from a coal mining family background from Canada, and know a lot about, and from family stories, about what a dirty industry it is and how the workers are treated so cruelly. And we have that very fresh in our minds with those miners dying this week. But anyhow, I want to hear from you guys. Stuart Boss, mm-hmm. and Taylor Timmerman.
Yes.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us this morning. I think a lot of people in the Chapel Hill and Carborough community definitely share your sentiment about not knowing that UNC has a coal-fired power plant that supplies a lot of the energy for UNC. That's one of the things I encounter a lot when I speak to community members and also students, is they're surprised to find out that there is a coal-fired power plant. It just seems like such an archaic and outdated fuel source. Especially to have at a major research university that's on the cutting edge in so many other technologies.
Yeah. Well, I sort of knew about UNC because I'd see the little coal cars coming, but how much, you know, there was that big coal fire plant right outside firing up most of Washington, D.C., and there was that big protest there not that long ago. Stuart, hi.
Hey, how are you?
So you're involved in this too.
Mm-hmm.
And want to tell us how you two got involved in what you're doing now to make a change.
Yeah, basically last semester our campaign started with, you know, this is going on across the country. There, Beyond Coal, campuses Beyond Coal campaigns going on all over the country.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. From Alaska to like different parts of the Southeast, there's campaigns going on in Georgia, Kentucky. So this is part of a nationwide movement of youth kind of speaking up about coal-fired power plants at major universities all over the country. And so we got involved because we had a Sierra Club organizer, Laura Stevens, working on the campaign down on the ground here with students. And she, you know, she interviewed me for an internship and got me signed up back in September. And so... It was thanks a lot to the work that the Sierra Club organizers have been doing on the ground that I think has really carried this movement forward and mobilized students.
Well, that's really interesting. So the Sierra Club, like, are they the ones organizing all over the country, or is it sort of spontaneous grassroots?
It's I mean, there's the Sierra Club, and then the youth arm is the Sierra Student Coalition,
yeah.
Which we started a chapter here at UNC. So it's a partnership of the Sierra Club and Sierra Student Coalition, getting organizers on the ground and mobilizing students to get involved with speaking out about coal.
You know, that's wonderful, because a lot of us who have been activists, or some of us are putting on a few years, and it's I think it's just so important that we get the younger generation, you know, involved in understanding how much they're needed to.
Right, it is really important.
Yeah. So, Taylor, how did you get involved?
I jumped on the campaign a little bit later than Stuart. I started in January. I had heard about the campaign in the fall, and I've been busy with a couple other environmental organizations, and then I spoke to actually Laura about a possible internship with the Sierra Club and working on the campaign, and so that's when I really became involved, was this January.
Okay, so with your campaign, tell me about it. What are you all doing?
It's a lot of grassroots organization. Our main focus of the campaign is a petition to Chancellor Thorpe to switch UNC from coal to a more sustainable energy source as soon as possible, and then kind of our mandated deadline is 2015 at the latest. And
that's what you're saying, make it to.
Yes.
And what have they been saying?
The university has a climate action plan to be carbon neutral by 2050. And it's been shown
Oh, my God.
And it's been shown that they, if they are to meet the deadline by 2050, that they can't have a coal-fired power plant. So they know that they're going to have to phase off of coal. And the plan's to be 20% off of coal by 2020. And major climate experts and scientists have just shown that that's way too late, that we need to be moving past coal a lot sooner than that. So our campaign's really been focused on Chancellor Thorpe, and we've had thousands of petitions signed by students, community members, alumni, and faculty to Chancellor Thorpe. We've also had a lot of support from community members and alumni and faculty in writing letters to Chancellor Thorpe and writing letters to local newspapers. And we've had a pretty good response from the Chancellor. They formed the Energy Task Force Committee earlier in January, kind of as a direct response to the campaign. And this committee is just formed to examine UNC's energy use and the feasibility of moving past coal.
Okay, so you're getting a response from him, at least to take a look and listen to you, which is hopeful. What are the alternatives that you're proposing to him? If the university isn't using coal, what are you trying to, are you giving him ideas what else he could use?
Yeah, I think one thing that we're trying to keep in mind is that we, you know, our main goal is to get off of coal by 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to prescribe an alternative to the university, but we've presented a lot of options for what could be done instead. There are a lot of ideas in terms of substituting natural gas at the coal-fired power plant. That's a fossil fuel, but it's a lot cleaner, has about half the CO2 emissions, and none of the mercury and arsenic and lead. So as a bridge fuel, while we're transitioning off of fossil fuels, natural gas would be much better, and the plant can burn up to 50% natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition, we're also talking about any kind of solid coal substitute that we can use. And so generally that would be biomass. So we're looking at options like torrefied wood, wood pellets.
Say it again. What?
It's biomass, so torrefied wood.
What is that?
It's kind of like a charcoal substance. It's like wood that's sort of been turned into charcoal, so it has a closer like BTU content to coal, so it so it can burn a little. It's almost like coal. It's just it's not coal. It's not mined out of mountains. It's
okay.
It's a wood.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that and then what else are you?
And then in the long term, we hope that UNC will be switching to solar and wind, geothermal, and we've seen initiatives in that direction, but nothing on the scale or on the timetable that it needs to be.
Yeah, so I would think that kind of wood, what is the process by which they make that? Is that a process that doesn't create a lot of carbon dioxide?
Definitely you have to be careful, and that's something that we obviously don't want to transition from coal to something like, we don't want natural gas that's extracted through fracking or something
like that.
And
we don't want
biomass that's harvested in an unsustainable way.
Yeah.
So it is important to like be careful with producers and making sure that like we had a Virginia biomass producer come speak at the last Energy Task Force meeting, and he presented a very it was a very well crafted and well thought out plan to harvest trees sustainably so that you never have fewer trees than you started with.
Okay.
So kind of working on that. I think there are definitely ways to do it that are environmentally responsible.
Yeah. That kind of shows to me, though, you know, it's not easy, is it?
No.
You know, and hearing about natural gas, I guess, there's been so much lately about the problems mm-hmm. with fracking and creating other problems, even though the natural gas itself is a cleaner burning source. But I wonder why solar and wind would be so difficult for the university.
I think a lot of it is baseload needs. There, I mean, we still need to progress to the point where you can get baseload electrical power from a technology like solar or wind.
Wait, but definitely, what does baseload mean?
Baseload, like the plant can provide like a steady and high amount of electricity and steam and heat for the school. And so it's kind of hard to meet those needs with solar and wind right now.
It is. Okay. Well, so the university, though, you hope, is sort of listening to you and trying to move its timetable up from 2050?
Yeah. We had a meeting. I met with Carolyn Elfland, who's the Vice Chancellor for Campus Services.
Yes.
And we, the student leaders of the campaign, met with Chancellor Thorpe last Wednesday, actually. So definitely there is a sense that now that we've forced the administration to start looking more closely at this, that they have definitely moved up that timetable for, you know, switching out a certain percentage of that coal with biomass and things like that. Like, actually next Wednesday, or this Wednesday on the 28th, they're holding an open meeting to announce the beginning of biomass testing in the plant. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that must make you feel good that that your work is having some effect. How hard has it been for you to get other students organized? I mean, I know students can be passionate about things, but I also know they have studies and a lot of other things on their mind. How has that been, your organizing efforts?
It's definitely interesting working with students, I think, versus working with community members. Because we are full-time students and have a lot of other obligations. But we have a really good base of students, anywhere from 10 to 15, that really are passionate about the campaign and that work really hard. And so that's been great. And it's great to kind of have a support with working within the campaign. And being able to rely on other people and see other people getting involved and becoming passionate and really just working really hard to make a change and see this happen.
So you have a core of some really committed, passionate students. There's about 15 of you or so. Okay, that's really interesting. Now, I'm trying to remember, maybe Lucy, you remember that Margaret Mead, I think, had that saying about it, that all you need is a small group of really committed people to make change. I'm paraphrasing badly, but so you have this core. That's very interesting. And then, and you're certainly in a great place for organizing. At least there's a lot of warm bodies and smart bodies around. So when you do a protest, about how many do you get at a protest?
Usually shoot for, I mean, a lot of times what we do is press conferences. You know, we've had a lot of high-profile speakers, and you don't necessarily need a lot of people out there. Anywhere from 20 to 30, and you've, as long as you have a solid small crowd in attendance, that's important. Really, the most important thing is turning out media, you know, local newspapers, TV stations, to have them interview your speakers and get out there.
That's something I've been at a meeting just recently. We're saying we've got to get better with media. So you guys are good with media because I've seen these stories in the paper. And, I mean, you're on an issue that's right on the cutting edge, you know. And I'm just so impressed with the effectiveness of your campaign. And, you know,
thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. You're going to become our great organizers. Are you intending to keep on being organizers?
Definitely, we're definitely going to see this one through.
Yeah, and that's definitely something I think that we're both interested in looking at in the future. So.
Good. Oh, we need you. Okay, we're going to take a station break like right now and let people catch their breath and let you know that this is WCOMLP and Wilp's Wake Up Call, Wilp being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Don't forget, it's pencil and paper time.
Thank you. Dick is reminding me. Please get out your pencil and paper because we always give you some places to get further information about whatever we're talking about today. And I also have an announcement to read here. Let's see. There's going to be a Red Cross benefit on Sunday, April 25th from 3 to 5. Where? The Flying Burrito, one of my favorite places in Chapel Hill. So that is something you might want to think about. And that I just want to let you know that we have an underwriter, and our underwriter is Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street. And if you have not been there, go there, because it is a wonderful one of our, I hope, never getting extinct things of a small local bookstore. And if you're too busy to go over there, you can check it out on internationalistbooks.org. So I hope you have that pencil and paper ready, because I'm going to give you a few other pieces of information here. We can, some people have a little difficulty. We are a low power station, so you can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. And please tell your neighbors and friends, and some, if they say they can't get it in, give them that information. Now, as I said, we're the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. You can find out more about us at TriangleWILP.org. And don't forget that P in WILP, the P for peace. It's important. We're here today. I'm Lori Hoyt, your host, and we have two passionate young people who are working on a Beyond Coal campaign. We have Stuart Boss and Taylor Timmerman, and they're telling us about how they got involved, what their campaign is about. And they are both co-chairs of the Sierra Student Coalition. And how long have you all been, this has been this year that you've been working on this?
The campaign started in September, or actually August.
Okay. And what year in school are both of you? Are you?
I'm a first year.
I'm a sophomore.
So you're going to be around here for a while to continue your campaign, because we all know that these issues are not ones that can be solved right away, and and it's an ongoing struggle. It's so wonderful that we have these young people here today, because this is the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, and what a momentous thing this has been for all of us to know more about Mother Earth. It was started in 1970, and here it is, 2010. Besides the coal campaign, what are other Sierra Club, what is this, Lucy?
Goals.
Goals, it was your word before. You know, what are some other goals the Student Sierra Club has? Is this the main one, or are there other things that you're doing?
This is the main campaign going on at UNC right now, and kind of the one that we're spearheading. It's pretty, I guess, time-consuming. It's also, it's happening right now, so it's important that we're really active in it right now. But Sierra Student Coalition is kind of about looking at any environmental or social justice issue that might be occurring, and kind of re-examining it, and showing that it doesn't have to be the norm, that it can change, that we can move past this.
So, and Stuart, are there other environmental issues that you're involved with, or
None that I'm directly involved with, but there are a number of important things going on campus. Flow Foods has been doing a really good job raising awareness about local and sustainable food.
Who is this?
This is Flow Food, fair, local, organic food.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been doing some really interesting work.
Yes,
and they're trying to start changing the university's local food policy. So that's been really, that's really interesting to watch, and we've talked to some of them.
Yes, there's been some interesting things about that, and getting some local food in your, instead of it all being fast food.
Right.
Wonderful, yeah. So, what about the Community Sierra Club? Are they supportive to you? Are they involved with you, or what is, you know, how much coordination is there between the two groups?
We definitely, some of the leaders of the Orange Chatham County Sierra Club are really involved and dedicated to the campaign on campus. It's great to kind of have that support that we can go to and ask them questions and kind of get their help and input on things. And that's also something I've just seen in the Chapel Hill and Carver community. I've worked a lot with community members this semester with the campaign, and it's been great to see them become involved, and they're really supportive of the campaign and really ready to get involved and kind of get their hands dirty. But so we have had the support of the Orange County Sierra Club, and then we've also had the support of the North Carolina chapter of the Sierra Club. And actually, Molly Diggins is on the from the president.
She's the state director for the
State
Director
Sierra Club. Okay. Of the North Carolina Sierra Club, and she's on the Energy Task Force Committee.
Okay, well, in, you said you meet with some community groups, and we have found with WILP also how important it is, when you're a small committed group, to be in solidarity with others. What are some of the community groups that you've talked to or that are showing support to you? Because I think it is going to take students and a community-wide effort to keep the pressure on the university.
Well, one thing that's exciting, not even... I guess this is sort of a little bit separate from community groups, but also we've been, the Citizens for a Coal-Free Community, this group of citizens that's been working a little bit with us, but a lot of them have been working pretty independently on taking a petition to bodies of local government and petitioning.
I had not heard of them.
Mm-hmm. So,
they're local and national? Or?
No, it's just a local group.
It is a local group.
Mm-hmm, Citizens for a Coal-Free Community.
Wow.
Yeah, so people like Reverend Campbell.
Yes. One mm-hmm. of our dear allies, Reverend.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. they've been working to take this petition to bodies of local government. So the Carver Board of Aldermen endorsed the petition unanimously a couple weeks ago.
Yay, Carver.
Yeah. And the Orange County Democratic Party endorsed a resolution as well a few weeks ago.
Great.
And so hopefully we'll find out soon about I know they took it to the Chapel Hill Town Council, and we'll hear back in May about that. And then...
So Chapel Hill is not on board yet. Chapel Hill, listen here. Citizens, go to your Chapel Hill Council meetings and let them know that you support this.
Definitely.
And both of those were completely community-led.
Yeah.
Which has been awesome. Because we're lucky because we're working here, and, there's been this student campaign on campus, but there are all these community members that also, they were here before us, and y'all are going to be here after us.
We are.
You guys feel a lot more passionately about this coal plant because you guys have to live. You live here. You live downwind of the plant, and you're breathing in the mercury and arsenic and lead.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if we're more passionate than the two of you, but we are passionate. But it's so funny how you have to change your whole mindset, because when one of my grandsons was small, I used to, because I live right around here, I would try to time when the little train was coming through, and go and wave at the train conductor, and it just seemed like such a charming thing. And now to realize how uncharming, how absolutely deadly that it is. I mean, it's such a mindset change that we've all had to make, those of us who are older. It's just really amazing. But, as more information has come to us, and you guys are there educating students and educating the community. And I hope, not only to get petitions to President Thorpe, are you addressing student groups, because they can go home to their communities and carry the work forward? Is that part of how you see your mission?
Oh, yes. We've been working with student organizations and also student leaders on UNC's campus, and we've gotten the support. It's kind of interesting that this kind of transcends environmental groups and social justice groups, because it is a social justice issue in many ways.
Absolutely.
And we've gotten the support of really a few prominent groups on campus, and I think that definitely helps snag the chancellor's attention when he sees that these well-respected groups that are supporting us.
What are some of the groups on campus?
One of the big groups, the UNC Campus Y, which is a, it consists of, I think, 21 committees, and that all focus on social justice issues. And we've gotten the support, we've gotten their endorsement, and then also the endorsement of UNC Young Democrats. And UNC Campus Y and UNC Young Democrats are two of the most active and well-known student groups on campus. And we've also gotten the support of several environmental groups, SWEAT, which is an environmental justice group, and then also SEEK, which is a also another environmental group, as well as a few, medical or organizations. Autism Outreach has supported us. So we've definitely had a wide variety of student organizations giving their support.
That is so wonderful, because hopefully all of these young people are learning so much about what coal does to the environment, what it does to the workers, and that it affects all of us, and they hopefully will go out. It's like you're spreading seeds, and hopefully right. It's going to take root, and they're going to go out to all of their communities and become involved with this. Okay, how can listeners support the Coal-Free UNC campaign? Is there a website that you have? And also, I guess we could do letters to Chancellor Thorpe. Can you tell us how to get more information?
You can email either of us.
Okay.
I can give you my email.
Sure.
SBOSS, S-B-O-S-S.
S-B-O-S-S. Oh, SBOSS, okay.
91. At email.unc.edu. We also have a website that's just coalfreeunc.com.
Okay. Coalfree. Oh, that's an easy one. UNC.com.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, I hope you got that. This affects our whole community. It affects all of us. Coalfreeunc.com. And also, reminder again, I think you all can write letters to Chancellor Thorpe and just send them to UNC Chapel Hill. I think Chancellor Thorpe will get his mail. That really does have an impact, hearing from the community. He's been listening to students. It sounds really hopeful to me that you are really having an effect on all of us. I will no longer wave happily at those little coal cars coming past. And I think all of us are more and more recognizing. I for so long I knew what it did to the workers, but I didn't realize how pervasive. And here they are, cutting off mountaintops, and that's something we can talk about another time.
UNC is connected to mountaintop removal.
They tried to say they weren't, because it's such a horrible thing to think of, blowing up mountains and what that does to the whole community around there. So that you found out they definitely did.
We've been doing some research, and
so egg on their face for that. this is WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and this is Wilp's Wake Up Call. Wilp being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and we're celebrating our 75th birthday this year. And you can go to WCOMFM.org to find out more about this, and also TriangleWilp.org. Gosh, those pencils are going to be worn down to a little nub. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. And this is Lori Hoyt signing off, and our guests were Stuart Boss and Taylor Timmerman.